So my next episode features Renee. She is a homeless female veteran of the U.S. Army. Renee found herself homeless after struggling for quite some time with some mental illness and some physical illness that stemmed from her service in the time of the Army. She fell off a 2.5-ton truck and got essentially a TBI, and she dealt with some MST, which is military sexual trauma. This episode is pretty raw. She's open and honest with us about what it's like to be a female homeless veteran, which is unique because, as you may have heard me say already, females are the fastest growing demographic of veteran homelessness. So this episode, I sit down with Renee, and Jennifer is also in the room too, taking notes and asking some questions there towards the end. We want to get a feel for what it's like specifically for homeless female veterans and what we can do to help. Because right now, there's not a whole lot being done. She mentions that if you're a single woman, then it's much harder to get any kind of assistance than it is if you are a mother. If you have a mother, people will open their doors, and there's all kinds of organizations ready to help because of your children. But if you don't have children, then there's just not a whole lot out there for you. So we want to kind of gather that information and see how we can use that to benefit Passageways and their cause, which is to help homeless veterans. So I hope you enjoy the show. And if you feel compelled after listening to this or any of the others I've done, head on over to Passageways website. That's www.passagewaysltd.org/donate. And then from there, through the app there, you can donate to the website directly. And anything you give Passageways will go 100% towards helping homeless veterans. Right now, the biggest thing they got going on is the phase two, which is called Homefront. So right now, they can only house single men. But in phase two, the Homefront edition, there will be a whole neighborhood. And in that neighborhood, there will be cottage homes. And those cottage homes can be opened up to men, women, small families, service dogs, you name it. So they're really expanding in the hopes of ending homelessness in the Wichita, Kansas area for all of the veterans, of which there are many. So once again, go to www.passagewaysltd.org and donate today.
Motorcycle, I'll give you one of my beer glasses.
That's right there. Trying something new today. Got a new piece of equipment here, so if you wouldn't mind just clipping this on your shirt.
No, I don't mind. I thought you were doing a paranormal investigation.
You're gonna do that. We can do that next.
Are you into that, Seth?
No.
Oh, dang it.
I watch it on the deal.
Once in a blue moon when I was younger, we would. There was a phone app you used to be able to get. I'm sure it was all just...
Yeah, right. But nothing freaked you out.
Yeah.
Sean and I investigated the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida. And it was crazy.
You got to go check the Winchester House out in California.
I've never been there. I've always wanted to go there.
I have.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I actually thought I seen somebody in a window and stuff, but I didn't have a good camera to take a picture.
Yeah, so. But you got a good memory. Yeah. You knew.
I'm not so sure I want to find out.
Well, you know about the Winchester House, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
How she kept building on because the psychic told her that, you know, she needed to do that to keep the spirits from, you know.
Appease the spirits that were all killed by the Winchester
guns. Yeah, by the guns.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've quit watching because of, you know, of what I'm reading in my Bible. And it's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't play with that. Yeah.
I like to look at the mental side of it.
But. Yeah, yeah. It's a bunch of fake stuff to me when I watch it on TV. Even people that videotape it, because it's just like, did you hear that? And it's like, you don't hear a daggum thing.
I want to get a t-shirt that says, do you hear that?
Yeah.
We joked about that for a while.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right, I think we're ready.
All right.
So I'm going to kind of stand back here just so it kind of looks normal, like we're actually talking to each other. If I sit over there, then
that's okay.
You get the idea.
Do you want a chair?
There's this one free over here.
Yeah, there's one over here.
You got it?
Yep, I got it.
Okay.
All right, Renee, thanks for meeting with us today.
You're welcome.
So I understand that you're a veteran, right?
I am.
Okay. When, what, I guess,
Okay, so what branch of service did you serve in?
I served in both the Army and the Army National Guard.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 years regular and a year in the Guard. So.
So what year did you enlist?
I enlisted right after high school in 1986. Okay. And I got out in 90 out of the regular Army. That's another story. I could go on about that. It wasn't by choice. I'd have stayed in. But then I went to the Guards. But before I got out of the service, they thought I needed to go to the range and qualify. And I fell off a 2.5-ton truck backwards and broke my shoulder. And the Army and the VA, neither one caught it. So when it came time for my qualifications to reenlist in the National Guards, I couldn't pass my PT test. So that's why I'm out of that.
So you got out just before Desert Storm then?
I was Desert Shield.
Desert Shield.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and I got lucky. I got to stay stateside. So that was at the time that they were real iffy about sending ladies over.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. So where did you serve in the Army?
I served in Korea, and I served mostly on the east coast of the U.S., like New Jersey and North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, medical hold here in the state, you know, in Kansas. So, and then, like I said, South Carolina, it was my last active duty station, so.
What was your MOS?
I was a 31Q, which is a tactical microwave satellite communications operator. I originally went in to be an electronic technician to fix the sight on the Dragonlance and Shillelagh missile, and got reclassified because I couldn't pass the written test, but I could pass the hands-on, and that was because I was dyslexic. You had to pass both, so
that's
yeah.
That's a pretty high-tech job.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of schooling to get that one, huh?
For the first one, yes. Yeah, the second one wasn't so long. The first one was almost a year for schooling. So.
Okay. So you served in Korea, and then you got out in 1990.
Right, regular.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there went to the Guard, and I came back here to Kansas, and I did not have a regular job until like 1998, somewhere around there. Got a full-time job, but then I had to quit that in 2005 because of my PTSD, which had been officially diagnosed or got under control with the VA. It had gotten pretty bad, so I had actually had visions of knocking my boss out, so I had to quit. So, after that, I became homeless not too long after that because, one, I wasn't working, and even before I had stopped work, I was struggling to pay my bills because of my medical issues and stuff. And I was on the USDA rural development program for my house, so it was okay just as long as I didn't continue to increase in my pay. So if the more money you got, the more they charged you for your house payments and stuff. And so everything started to go up. It was electric and my car. And then with my medical problems, I had broken my knee underneath the kneecap. And that had set me back. And when I got my house, I had gotten behind because I had forgotten to make one payment, and I tend to do that because I have a TBI from falling off the 2.5-ton truck and some other stuff. But so it got sent to collections. So I had to file bankruptcy in 2004, and then in 2005 I ended up at the VA in Leavenworth when they had a psych unit. At the time that I had thought that I was going to knock my boss out, I knew I needed help, so they sent me up there. And when I came back, I had to surrender my dogs. I had a black lab and a lab blue heeler and a little bitty dog. And I found a place for my big dog, but after a year in Leavenworth at the VA up there, I gave her up. So I basically lost everything, my van and everything. And after being up there hospitalized at the VA in Leavenworth for a little bit in 2005, I came back, and my mom only let me stay with her for a week. That's all she would let me stay. So I ended up being homeless in my van until I surrendered it to the bank on my own. So, and then there's no place in Wichita for me to go for a shelter and stuff. That's why I was staying in my van. And I got blessed and found the place by Our Lord's Diner. There's a little building there, and I got to stay till they had room in the domiciliary in Leavenworth again, and so that's where I ended up at. After a while, they were thinking about sending me to Fort Dodge, the old place where soldiers are at, either in the nursing home or in a living community there on the base. And I didn't want to go there, so I house sat till an opening came in public housing, and then so I had stayed up there till then. And I've not been on the streets since, so that's good. But I've still struggled to maintain a job. Now I can't do a job because of my physical limitations and stuff, but I've never been able to keep a job except for that one that I had to quit for like 7 years. So, anyways, but yeah, that's where I'm at now. And I finally got service connected last month for my PTSD and military sexual trauma. So, things are a lot better than they were. So,
that's good to hear.
Yeah,
and that's a tough story. And thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
So, if you don't mind me asking, why did you get out of the Army initially?
I got out of the Army initially because they wouldn't let me re-enlist because they said I was overweight. I was 154 pounds at the time, and I was bodybuilding. And I looked great in my uniform, but I couldn't measure up right. At the time, I didn't know my back curved from front to back, you know, exaggerated. But I could never measure upright. Plus, I wasn't one to kiss butt. I believed in doing my job and treating everybody, you know, the way I wanted to be treated. And so that didn't fly. And sometimes there was sexual favors required, and I wouldn't do that either. So I didn't get to stay in because I wouldn't kiss butt stuff. So, but that's why I'm out. You know, the regular. I wasn't happy about it. I didn't want to get out. So.
Yeah, I understand.
So.
I'm sorry to hear about the sexual harassment stuff. I mean, you hear stories about that. And
yeah.
I always wondered, how common that is, but the more I talk to people, the more
yeah.
I realize it's a lot more common than what I hoped it was.
Yeah, and I know that it's common among, I don't know how common, because gentlemen don't talk about it, but, you know, men have military sexual trauma, too.
Right.
So.
Gotcha. So, what would you say was the biggest benefit to you as far as help while you were homeless?
The biggest benefit for me? The biggest benefit for me until the domiciliary picked me up in Leavenworth was the fact that one, I had my van for a while, and not too long after that, I was able to somehow connect with this house next door and be able to stay there till the VA picked me up again. So, the biggest help to keep me off the streets was being up there in Leavenworth until I got back up on my feet, so.
I hear that a lot. You know, some of the people I talk to, it's, as soon as they lose the vehicle, then it's a different story.
Yeah. So, and I should have kept the stupid thing, because I ended up still having to pay, like, $2,000 after they sold it, so.
So, you mentioned that Wichita doesn't really do anything for single women.
No, they don't. And especially back in 2005, there was nothing. I got lucky, like I said, for the place next door to the Lord Steiner. I went to the Salvation Army, and they housed women, but you had to have children. And I did not have any kids. Even when I got out of the service and I applied for assistance, like for food and money to help pay bills, the system assumes that you're pregnant because you're asking for money for bills and things like that. And I told them, I said, you know, why in the Sam Hill would I bring a child into the world when I can't take care of myself? So, you know, the system is just that way. I mean, it's set up for parents to have children, you know. So, and once you're not a child anymore, you're on your own in the system. So.
So you mentioned that from 1991 until now, you basically didn't have any help from the VA?
I had, as far as what, help, medical or what?
Medical help.
I could go to the VA, yes. But as far as a place to stay, no, I didn't have anything until they had an opening in Leavenworth in the domiciliary. So I even camped out on the VA in my van the first couple of nights because I didn't know where else to go, you know, and I didn't know how safe the streets were for me to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
So.
So if you could give any advice to young single women who might be in a similar position that you were in, what advice would you give them?
Young single women in general or veterans?
Young single women, specifically veterans, you know, women who are transitioning out of the military and maybe they are having a hard time. You know, what advice would you give them?
My advice is now things are a little better than what they were when I was coming to the VA at first. Not only for women, but for homeless vets. If you're struggling, per se, emotionally and everything else, the system's not great at the VA, but it's something. And so I would say, you know, plug into that. And if you're in fear of being homeless and you're a veteran, definitely plug into HUD-VASH, which is a program for veterans specifically. It's a form of HUD, but it deals with veterans in general. And they didn't have that until after I found a place in public housing. And once you have public housing stuff, you can't get any help to find something better. So.
Thank you for that. I know there's going to be probably several people watching this on YouTube, so
uh-huh.
I want to kind of just end it with another question I generally ask, and I think we've already kind of clarified that a little bit, but what's the best piece of advice that you could give anybody that's transitioning out of the military, just in general?
Just in general, don't isolate. Find somebody that you can talk to, even if you don't want to go to the VA. Find another veteran or somebody that has something in common. You're gonna have to be understanding when you get out, because you're not the same that you were when you went in. And your family is not going to understand that. Most of them will not understand that. There will be those people who don't understand why you just can't get over it. And that's hard for them to understand. And it's not just us in the military with mental health issues or PTSD. It's people on the outside, too. There's just a big stigma for people that have mental health issues. So,
thank you for telling your story today.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I have a big favor to ask of you. If you're listening to the show, and if you like it, and if you thought it provided value to your lives, and if you got something out of it, consider being a donor. I'm not asking this just for me. I've got a job. I don't really need the money, but this helps me offset the cost of podcasting and allows me to bring you guys some of the content you hear. So I do a lot of work for nonprofits. You know, with Andrew, he works out there in Colorado, 3D printing homes. I work with Passageways all the time. I'm bringing you guys awesome interviews from them. I'm trying to do anything I can to benefit the veteran community, and podcasting can be kind of expensive. So if you donate a simple $5 a month, that's all I ask. Everyone's got $5. If you wouldn't mind, go to the show notes, hit the support the show tab, or go to my website, which is www.AmericanHeritagePodcast.com, and you can hit the donate tab there. And that will get you to where you need to go through Stripe to donate your $5 a month. Simply doing that goes a long ways towards helping veterans. I will donate a portion of those proceeds back into various nonprofits, but specifically Passageways, because that's just kind of the thing I'm passionate about. So if you wouldn't mind, once again, www.AmericanHeritagePodcast.com. Hit the donate tab from the homepage. Anything you can give would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.